Welcome back, Patriot Pals, to the Mel Kay Show, our favorite scientist and deep dive digger, and somebody who's taught me more than anyone else. Michael L. is back, and I'm excited to have you here and excited to hear what you got for us.
Oh, my God. Welcome back. We haven't seen each other. My favorite.
I know. It's been 2 weeks, and people send me emails.
You're like a machine, Michael. Man. Jeez, every time I talk to you, I'm like, what city are you in now? So,
yeah, we're in Myrtle Beach right now.
Yeah, you were actually close by me over the weekend. I was actually going to come down and visit you.
Well, we'll be back down there because we are moving to Free America as soon as we can get out of New York City. And I can't wait. And we will see you much more regularly in real life. But as for today, I know you have a lot. And,
I do. And
let's get going. Let me do the screen share. Hold on.
Let me know when you're ready.
You're all set.
All right. So let me share my screen. Here we go. All right. You see that okay?
Yep.
All right. First and foremost, I want to tell everybody, Mel did it to me again. So I've had like the next three sessions completely done. There's some new energy coming out. There's some new anti-gravity technology that's being released. And I got all this exciting stuff, torsion fields that are coming in now. And so she sends me a series of emails. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to open it. And then I open it. So now I've got this huge database that I had to crack that nut. So here we go.
Well, we'll double it up in the next few weeks so we get the good news out as well as the information people need.
Yeah, I think what I cleared my schedule. I talked to Rob, maybe doing a couple next week.
Great. Right? Awesome. Cool.
So there's I'm on Truth Social now. I've been on it now for about a month.
Really? I'm on Truth Social too. Well, we're going to have to both be. So it's Ask Mike L! On Truth Social.
Yeah, that's me.
And we are the Mel Kay Show on Truth Social.
I looked for you and I couldn't find you. So I'll go back in and look.
Yeah, it's the full name of the show. The Mel Kay Show is our name on there.
Okay, I'll look it up. So the good news is I post a couple things every day.
Oh, great. I didn't even know. You have to tell me. Great. It's good to know because you're the best at finding information out there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like I said, you, Naomi Wolf, and Karen Kingston are the only people I know that are really deep diving into all of this stuff and putting it out there without fear and really informing the public. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And it's crazy how much has come out. So today we're going to kind of sidestep. We're going to go into COVID because she sent me a couple COVID updates. Some new data came out and some of the older data has been reanalyze. So I want to kind of talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah, so, and I wanted to ask you too. I see Bill Gates now has COVID, two shots and a booster, saying he's so grateful for that because it would be much worse, even though there's no proof of any of the above. I don't even know if he really has it, because so does the governor of New York. So does half of the Obama regime, all those people that went, the reporters. I don't even know if they have it. But I did see Birx come out of nowhere with her book, of course, because that's how they launder their money. And she came out of nowhere and she says that there's going to be another round of COVID and they're already throwing out July. So I'm thinking they're telling us that they're going to go for it. So the more information you get out and we get out now, the better prepared we are to not comply with their trickery.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is it, by the way. This new variant is extremely smart because it only goes after the Democrats. Because I mean, that's
isn't it great?
Right?
Unbelievable. I mean, they're setting it up.
Yeah. So this thing kind of maneuvers through the Senate, for example, and it completely ignores certain Republicans. It goes right to the Democrats. And then all of a sudden, you got it. So that was, by the way, that was an amazing vaccine because thank God they had that vaccine because they weren't as sick. Now, you look at the ones that actually get it that weren't, that it's a common cold. So, we know that. I want to jump into this a little bit. I want to point out something really quick. And this is just kind of one of my pet peeves.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to point something out. So I deal a lot with foreign individuals in my work. So I deal with people from Spain, all over the country. Tracy, she's Vietnamese. And what I've noticed is people, when they hear people talking where English is their second language, they don't realize how hard that really is, because when you're talking to an entrepreneur, and I do a lot in Japan too, by the way, a lot of work with Japanese. So this is what happens with them. So what happens is when they're talking, they're taking our language, putting it in their brain, translating it, and then retranslating it and coming back. So this is actually a true statement. When you actually are communicating with people with different languages, you need to be more patient. And this is why. And it really irks me when I hear, for example, when Tracy's somewhere and they hear her with that very heavy accent,
right,
and they talk down to people like that. So guys, and I know your people don't do this, but don't do it.
Right.
Pet peeve. Okay, we're done. Let's move on to a new subject. I want to say this really quick before we do, Mel.
Yeah.
This was a boss move, man. So Elon Musk comes out.
Right.
2 weeks ago, and he announces, hey, yeah, by the way, we're no longer doing Tesla electric cars. We're switching to hydrogen.
Wow.
Now, what's first, there's a couple things about this that's really amazing. So for the last 8 years, he's been talking down, saying hydrogen's a waste of time. You know, it doesn't work. And the auto industry has been trying and messing with hydrogen for about 20 years. The problem is when they were trying to convert and do that, it explodes. So every time they were doing their prototype, they could never do it. But he silently has been, probably the last 5-6 years minimum, has been working on this, and he has successfully come up with a hydrogen-based energy source.
Wow.
So I want to comment on this a little bit, and then we'll get into our COVID deep dive, right?
Sure.
What people don't realize is Elon Musk has a huge military contract, one of the biggest, even bigger than Lockheed Martin. Right. So people don't realize that. So I think he has access to some of this high level technology. Right. Mm. So in this one, he comes through and he says, here's the thing. So amazing. He's already going to punch these things out in 2024. Now, I want to make a comment here. What kind of pissed me off a little bit. I just ordered a new one.
Right.
I just ordered a new Tesla.
Right. We were amazed when you pulled up and you had a Tesla, we weren't surprised.
But here's the thing that's funny about this. So the car industry is now catching up to Elon Musk, where BMW, Audi, the first Mustang all-electric car comes out in the next year and year and a half. So by the time everybody else has caught up to him, he's like, hey, guys, thanks for joining the party. Yeah, I'm moving on. I've got hydrogen base. What a brilliant move.
He's really ahead of everyone. And again, there's been a lot of talk lately about the electric cars. It's just not feasible. It's just not. I mean, it is for some, but not for all. And with the whole gas shortage and all that pushing us towards that, it's making people even more, you know, hesitant. So that's great. I didn't know this.
And they're going to be much more cost effective. One thing I will say, the Tesla cars, they're not cheap, right? They're not cheap, and the average person normally wouldn't get to do that. You know, I've been blessed in my career. I do have one, but I absolutely love the car. You were in it, right? Actually, you know. But I want to talk about this hydrogen car just for a minute.
Go ahead.
If I may. So I love the fact that everybody's finally caught up to me. Hey guys, guess what? We got a new party. It's across the street. It's all hydrogen based now. So he starts talking about this in detail in an interview. And what he says, okay, we're going to call it the Model H, obviously hydrogen, brilliant, right? But here's the thing. He's using onboard hydrogen to provide rocket-based flaming speed boosts. So basically it's like this huge acceleration. But what's interesting is the basic model, his basic entry-level model, 0-60 in 1.2 seconds. This is amazing. So the Tesla base model does 0-60 in about 4.5 seconds, right? So that's the bottom basement model. Then you go up to the next level, it's 0-60 in about 3.9 seconds, right? The next model up goes at about 2.5 seconds.
Okay.
So that's the range of the normal Teslas.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, immediate instant power. This blows it out of the water because here's the interesting. So the range on this is 451 miles, which is about 100 miles more than his current Tesla battery model.
Okay.
But this is where it gets interesting. So one more slide.
No, go ahead.
So where is it? Okay, I didn't put it in here. So the next level model up, he's calling the O, and that's a supercharged version of this model, right?
Oh, wow.
0 to 60 in 0.4 seconds.
Now, so he's been working on this for a long time, and I guess in cahoots with his building his spaceships, his rockets, he's using both technology for the cars as well as for, you know, the advanced
stuff. I think this is also going to be based off of anti-gravity, but I want to make one final comment on this. So the old model, it goes so fast that 30 minutes before you get into that car, you have to take a drug to minimize the effect of a brain aneurysm because your body's accelerating at a rate that it's normally not used to.
Wow, weird.
Right? But here's what's interesting. So that won't affect the human body if you use anti-gravity around that vehicle, because now the G-forces don't apply to you inside that vehicle.
Oh my God. It's like the jet.
It's amazing. So, and I got a whole session on this, but
cool.
It's amazing how that doesn't affect you. But I wanted to say this because I really like, Elon Musk, I've been following him for years. And he's always ahead of the curve. And here he did it again. All those car industries finally catch up to him after chastising him. And then he switches to hydrogen.
Good for him. You know, the truth is he's advancing things because the hydrogen, honestly, makes much more sense and is much more feasible and affordable, right?
The cost, once he rolls these things out, the cost will be a fraction of normal cars.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I mean, but also the other thing is, and one of the things he boasts in here, it says, oh, by the way, you have pure drinking water while you're driving.
Exactly.
Exclusive water. Now, I will say, and we'll go into detail a little bit more, he modifies the water to a different version of water. It's like a supercharged water that we're going to talk about later, but it's interesting that he's using technology that are ion-based technology in some of the new rockets that are coming out. So it's not a far-fetched thing to think of. He has access to this information.
He must. Yeah, like you said, he's a giant government contract and he's had one for a very long time. Plus, he's very involved in Space Force too. So we know that he has access to information through that. So, you know, as long as he's using all of this for good, which this hydrogen change sounds like it's for good. And then again, like you said, all these electric car companies, they're not doing great. People don't love it. And it's expensive. So this is a great alternative that I didn't know about.
Yeah. And so this is the next generation. So he's always tried to stay ahead of the curve. He went with electric because he knew that the combustion wasn't economical and it was a harm to the environment. So he came out with electric. The challenge that he had was the conversion of those batteries. He had to develop his own R&D laboratory to improve those cells of those batteries.
Right.
Right.
And those batteries, they're a damage to the environment too, because once they're not usable anymore, there's nothing you can do with them, right?
For now, but now there is something that you can do with them. And we're going to talk about that in the next sessions because the new energy source is coming out. They're using old energy to come up with some superpower energy. It's crazy.
Great. Look forward to that.
That's coming up, guys. Something to look forward to. Hold your breath till it comes out. All right. Let's talk COVID because of some new information that came out. I have to keep moving you on my screen, Mel. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Walgreens comes out with this information. And so Walgreens and CVS, but they're corrupt, they monitor their own safety database of their patients and subjects because they want to make sure that things are up and good. So hands off to Walgreens that are revealing at least some of their data. So kudos to Walgreens, guys. Switch out of CVS if you can.
People are starting to wake up more en masse and asking questions. And if Walgreens wants to survive, this is what they need to do. And I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, and now, you know, we won't even talk about Disney, but what's happening now is we are winning, guys. I know it's frustrating, but we are pushing the envelope beyond it. I'm going to show you why in a minute. But right. So let's talk about this. So Walgreens reveals unvaccinated have the lowest positivity rate for COVID. No doubt, we've known that, but they're actually now coming out with it. Now, these rates aren't significant, but the details aren't in here. Okay. So what I did is I went back in and looked at some of the new data. So I dove deeper into this stuff. So let's look at it at a high level. Unvaccinated shows an 18% COVID rate. This is lower than three doses of the vaccine who have a 19.2% COVID rate, right? But here's, and this is where we're gonna break this down. Those three doses with their last dose taken over 5 months ago have the highest COVID rate of 31.3%. So what's significant about that is now all of a sudden, right away, you're not getting it because you still have that antibody immune response. So you're going to get that delay. We've talked about it a long time ago, but what's happening now is over time, what you're seeing is this is increasing. And by the way, this 31.3% over the 5 months is way, way higher. It's closer to the data really shows closer to 89%.
Wow.
Okay,
you know, Michael, what keeps happening, we talked about it earlier in the show, and I've talked about it to you offline, is so again, the people that are behind the vaccine, like we know Bill Gates yesterday says he has it, they all say the same thing. They've been double vaxxed and boosted, and they get it. And then they say, thank God that they're double vaxxed and boosted, or it would be much worse. Possibly if they were not double vaxxed and boosted, they wouldn't have gotten it. And if they did get it, it would be like a common cold.
Yeah, they'd be sneezing and taking an antihistamine, then they'd be done. That's really what that is. So you're right. There is a push. We need to be conscious of that because now all of a sudden it's coming out. And guess what's coming up right around the corner, right? Yeah. Election. So here we go again, putting our bootstraps on. But I'm going to go into that deep dig.
Right.
So what do we got, 60 or 90 minutes today?
Whatever, whenever you're done.
All right. This is the big one.
Okay.
This is Mel. She did this to me. And so the next 15 slides are because of Mel.
Okay.
So the FDA COVID vaccine for kids under 16 won't have to meet the 50% efficacy standard, the FDA official says, but you really got to dig into that because that comment alone isn't actually true either because they've significantly lowered the threshold for even passing this. But the other thing that I want to stress here is they're still using emergency use authorization. So what that alone is significant because we are not in a pandemic right now.
Right.
The indicators don't show. Now, even take out the 2021. Where everybody's like, oh my God, you know, most of the people thought there was a pandemic. Take that out right now and look around right now. There's really no COVID pandemic at all.
Right.
So the bigger question that people should be asking is, well, wait a minute, even though they're doing all of this garbage, why are we still using emergency use authorization?
That's
for
a good
these
question.
Drugs?
That's right? A good question. I haven't heard anyone even asking it, except for now you, but everyone should be asking it.
That's first and foremost. That's the first thing is why are we still doing this? And by the way, the EAU, Europe Medical Association, they're worse than the FDA and they're lowering their thresholds and they're pushing the vaccine still.
I know.
They're loading up the internet on, right? So first and foremost, we need to ask ourselves, why are we still doing emergency use authorization? Right. Why is the FDA mandating it and still allowing it? First question. Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. So the FDA is reviewing data from Moderna's two-shot vaccine for infants and toddlers, 62 years and then 2 to 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
It gets worse. The agency is waiting on data for Pfizer and BioNTech. Three-dose regime for children under five.
Oh, my
and
God.
And two doses for responses for 2, 3, and 4 year olds. So they're going down to the infant level.
My God.
Okay. And again, I can't stress enough. And, you know, I don't like always talking about this stuff because there's great stuff coming up, but we're still using emergency use only. But not only are we going after our teenagers, now we're going after the infants.
It's disgusting.
Right?
for something and, that they're very low odds of getting. Even Bill Gates was saying the other day, because, you know, he's manipulating all the language again, that kids really don't get it. And had he known, he would have been against the school lockdowns, certainly for so long. And yet on the other side, they're pushing this still, even though Dr. Gates is out there telling everyone that he didn't realize it wasn't really going to affect children, and that the lockdowns of the schools were worse for children than the COVID. But this is unbelievable.
But these some schools, there's some of this data that we're going to talk about as that comment exactly is, they're not even allowing kids to go into some of these preschools unless they have been proof of vaccination.
That's terrible. My God.
They're back. We're back to that. I thought we were past this crap, right? So let's keep going. Remember, so back in 2020, they had the guidance where they talked about COVID, where they lowered the thresholds to allow these vaccines to get pushed through, right? So prevent disease or decrease its severity. Key word that changed in at least 50% of the people. So now,
severity. Wow.
So what? And only 50% of your tested population. Now that's not placebo part of your group, right? That's your tested. But keep in mind that the original data, go back to our 2020. You still have those, right? Those videos where in 2020 the test population where they said, "Oh, it's 1,200." There was only like 16 or 17 subjects that actually got the drug. So
unbelievable.
And that data gets pulled out. It's gone. Well, I have it, but everybody else, they took it off. But I have been downloading this data since 2020, guys.
I know. Okay? Yeah.
So let's keep going. I want to talk about babies. I want to talk about pregnant women. If we can. It gets worse. And so there's new data that came out. The new data has been released. And so the most recent data that I have, and some people might have better data, but it's the end of April, April 28th. So we've got a little bit more data now that we can use to analyze. So I thought we'd kind of revisit it because here's the other thing. So the doctors in Europe, the doctors in Russia, they're coming out with data too, and they're punching it out. And so there's a network where even though they kept trying to shut us down, we still exist. Okay.
Go ahead.
So I want to, this is a lot, guys, I know, but I want to just point out a couple of things on this. I know people always get mad at me. They're like, your screen size are so small, and then they take pictures on their phones. But
yeah, that's what you have to do.
I want to this data, guys, because it's important.
Great.
So they came up with the 50% estimated above.
Right.
And the lower bound to 95% confident interval has to be above 30%. Mm-hmm. So they have to have, what they're doing is they're saying, okay, this is our population, but this is what we're going to allow that's acceptable. And then it gets worse. So for the pediatric trials, both Pfizer and Moderna did not clear this lower threshold. So they failed. They couldn't even, so they keep lowering the bar, and these new ones couldn't clear it for the children. Now, this takes, let's take out of this the fact that, first of all, their testing for COVID is a joke, right? Take that out of it. And how are they now looking at it? But what you're going to see in the next slides as we dig into after we get through this is all the data has been manipulated.
Right.
They're taking out certain patient or populations to lower these threshold numbers. So here we go. So they couldn't do it, but the FDA says, he says, it's still okay. We'll probably still authorize it anyway.
Unbelievable.
So they lower this bar to almost non-existent. It would be like you and me, let's say you and I are going into a race where we have to jump over hurdles, and you and I keep falling over the hurdles. So they drop the hurdles down to this level, right? Both of us can jump over that.
Right.
So that's what they did, and they still couldn't pass. So then they said, yeah, you know what? Even though they can't do it, we're still gonna pass it. So this is the last 2 weeks.
My God.
Okay.
I can't believe this is still going on this level. It's crazy.
In Europe, it's worse. So Moderna conducted separate trials for this vaccine, one for infants and toddlers aged 6 to 2 months, years old. And the claim of data showed a robust neutralization antibody response and a favorable safety profile. Now, here we go. So what does that mean? So they're saying you had a huge burst in your antibody production against the virus, and everybody's safe. No side effects or SAEs or AEs reported. Okay.
Wow.
Yet Moderna's KITCO study of the company failed to meet the minimal criteria for emergency use only. Now, again, emergency use only shouldn't even be used at this point. We should have stopped that in 2020. Well, first, we should have never done it, but then we should have stopped it in 2020. Okay, so even after the vaccine marker changed its analysis to meet the threshold. So what they did is they took it and said, okay, we suck. We can't do this. So we're going to move over. We're going to drop the threshold. We're going to push this thing through. So the FDA and the European Medicine Association, EAU, they're going to let this thing go through, right?
Yeah.
And here's another thing.
Unbelievable.
Moderna didn't follow the participants past 28 days.
That's unbelievable.
This is where you should be following them. And I'm going to show you data now of why they should. Okay. So the vaccine
28 days. I thought that they're supposed to follow for when they use these trials for 2 years. What can they learn in 28 days?
That's the point. That's the whole point. Right. So that's the right question to be asking. Okay. So now, data from New York State shows vaccine effectiveness for 5 to 11-year-old groups plummets within the 7 weeks to 12%. So this is an indicator, okay? After, for 28 days, and they stop this, that's when we're going to really see all of these other things. Something that you and I have been talking about since the beginning, and it's been coming out over the last few months, is I said, hey, where we really need to watch is the long-term effects of this data. Remember we talked about
that? Yes, I do. That's why I'm shocked that this is
early 2021. I said,
about kids.
Right. You guys got to be watching. And that was at the adult level we were seeing.
And kids are so much easier to track. It's a choice. It's not hard to track children, that especially because these children, unfortunately, their parents brought them in and put them in the study. So 28 days is a joke.
It's nothing, but more importantly than that, than the bars and the method of tracking, even that data that's being filtered and manipulated still shows significant adverse effects of this vaccine.
The children. I mean, Michael, what is this about at this point? I mean, the emergency use authorization, like you said, should have been rescinded a long time ago, if ever given, but certainly now we're not in it. But again, what is this about? Because now it's about children, and it's really, this is so damaging in my mind. I can't believe it's still going on.
I don't understand that. And that's why I'm revisiting this. You know, you and I, back in 2020, early 2021, we already knew. The data showed that the FDA, the NIH was completely corrupt.
Yeah.
Right.
And isn't it true that you one show we did, natural immunity for kids is the best way, I thought, to do this, is for them, if they're even going to get it, which even Gates is saying kids barely get this, but shouldn't they get it?
Kids weren't even getting this thing. And the other thing is kids, 99.96% recovery rate.
Right.
Okay. That's all out the window. And nobody's been talking about that since back in 2021, when everybody knew it. So the media has kind of shut that up. Said, we got to focus on this. But again, you're right. Back originally, the kids weren't even getting these things. So the other thing is, in the original data, there wasn't teenagers involved. There wasn't children in those original testing. Then all of a sudden, what they did is they threw all this data in there, right? And said, we do have data for children. We do have data for pregnancy. But the original data was not included. So now this Freedom of Information Act and this new dump, I'm going to show you. Let's keep going.
Eric Adams is keeping masks on children under 5 because it's not been approved yet, because they're not vaccinated. Think about the mind control and sick, twisted ideas of that. So kids right now that are under 5, at the age where they can be totally manipulated, their minds manipulated for life, mind controlled, and aren't sick, so they're wearing masks, not sick, waiting for the children to get the the vaccine that's going to possibly make them sick. This is so, I can't believe this is still going on, but I just needed to put out there that that's still going on in New York, that there are all these parents have their kids' masks waiting, you know, can't wait to get their kids injected with something they don't need and could be more dangerous than the COVID.
You know, the big challenge there, I will say, and I'm not defending those parents because, you know, do your homework, but if you just do general searches on a lot of the information that I punch out, you're not going to find it.
I understand that. And I know, you know, a lot of them, a lot of the kids too, you know, because we just saw a kid, I believe in Chicago, killed himself because he didn't get the vaccine and he was being bullied so bad and he just lost it.
True.
And, you know, if you don't comply, you know, some parents and kids that are really believe everything the government's telling them, you know, people won't play with them. I mean, there's so much going on for kids right now. That's horrific. And this is just another level of, you know,
that's why you're so important. And I'm not plugging that just because, you know what I mean? That's why what you do is very important. See, I sit behind my desk and I do all the research, right? You get out there at the front lines and you're pushing the information. And then all I do is I give you more data so you can use that when you're out into the public. Yeah. Right. That's one of the things I love about you is you and Robert, like every time I talk to him, like, well, where are you now? Right.
Yeah.
You travel more than me right now.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm actually. Yeah. And we're actually going to Chicago, too, coming up, too. And that's a new one. We're going to Rochester. We're going all over the place. But I got to tell you, people need to know this information and you need to share these shows. And you do a lot more than you're saying. But there's also you're not seeing this in the media at all, except for in our realm of the media. And you're not seeing it to the level where, because you explain it, that you could have a sixth grade education or have a PhD, you're still going to understand what you're saying. It's really, really important. But people have to share this information. Our kids are in danger in every way. And it's not by accident. It's by design. It's to have a generation of sick, easily manipulated, obedient, rule following generations ahead, and it's all connected. But this is ridiculous because we all know, I mean, if Fauci and Gates and all them, we know, we've seen all this say that children don't even get it, certainly don't die from it, you know. Then we had Sotomayor up there saying 200,000 kids got it. Total lie. It's just, at this point, what is this about? But really, I mean, protect your kids at least.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. So I dug down into this data a little bit more.
Okay.
And they also broke out specific ones. I wanted to look at infants and children. I wanted to look at pregnancies and abortions. Not abortions.
Spontaneous.
So I jump into Europe. So Europe, Germany in particular, hats off. There's a lot of really great scientists in Germany and the Netherlands. The people in the Netherlands are so smart, man. I mean, they're amazingly smart. But
They've got
some good guys. And so look at this data. I want to talk about this. And there's a lot of numbers and a lot of different things. So what I try to do is try to simplify. I take a lot of these really long articles.
Right,
I try to get the highlights out of it. Here's some interesting things. Let's look at the serious adverse events. SAEs are they're serious compared to an adverse event, right?
Yeah.
Serious AEs, one out of 125 vaccinated, 40 times under reporting factor of severe adverse events. 40 times reduction of what's really going on, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Researchers estimate that 8 serious side effects per 1,000 vaccinated people, one out of every 25, compared to 0.2 of 1,000 that has been estimated originally, which German FDA and vaccine watchdogs. So they were under reporting everything, but now they're saying, hey, by the way, you were off by 40 times the real number.
Wow.
I mean, it's about 500,000.
Unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, how can that possibly be a mistake? That's too many. I don't know. None of this makes that much sense in the big picture.
Mel, it's not a mistake. What's happening is, again, what they do is they modify and move around the populations of what they're looking at. And I'm going to show you some U.S. data that they do the same thing. And there's some great doctors. It's an older article that was written on some of the original data. But then when you apply what she says to the new data, it's like, holy cow, your head will explode.
Oh, wow.
So the end of the survey, findings that 80% of the people with severe reaction recover within 3 to 6 months, but 20% of the symptoms persist. So this is, again, goes back into this long-term stuff. And what we haven't yet looked at, and you keep saying, like, well, what's the you know, what's the objective, especially with the children? You're talking about messenger RNA. You're modifying DNA. Now, with the good guys using modified mRNA technology, they're using it now to fight cancer, and there's some really good stuff coming out. But the big question, this is something that I've been saying all along, I'm not on board with the snake thing.
I know. We don't
know. I didn't look into it, but it still worries me that they're modifying this and what they're putting inside those that vaccine that we still don't know.
We don't.
Okay. We don't know. So this estimate says 100,000 Germans are suffering from long-term side effects as a result of this. 16% of the vaccinated are still suffering side effects over 6 months after the vaccination. And this only follows up to 6 months.
So, well, then that's it.
There's
probably millions.
We haven't gone beyond that. And this is, again, modified data. Okay. So here's what's happening on this is they're trying to keep up with this thing. 400 emails from the affected are now received daily into this net and into one hospital clinic that's monitoring and watching this data. Let me stop for a minute, because look at that. 200 to 400 emails. It's not a week.
Wow.
It's a day coming in saying at this one particular clinic that they're saying, hey, I'm not feeling right. Something's going on, kind of thing. There's so much of it. They can't even keep
hearing
up.
It. Yeah.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Right?
So this data, by the way, researchers at Harvard Medical School are coming forward now and announcing that the CDC was undercounting SAEs, even at a factor rate of 40.
Oh my God.
40 times. So, you know, Harvard Medical School, you know, they're part of that cabal organization. But I want to comment here that this is something that I also have been saying, where not all of them are right. Nefarious, right? And so what you're seeing here at Harvard is some of these statisticians and people that are in the medical school and the research are coming through and saying, well, wait a minute. Let's look at this data really. And so thank God. And so hands off to the people that came out with that article. I don't have the original article for this one. I have others, though.
Yeah. And okay. Like you said that, I agree. I call it the poison Ivy League now. But the truth is that there's a lot more good than bad everywhere. There's a lot more good people than bad people, a lot more people looking to help humanity and heal than to harm. There is a stronghold cabal that is very into harming. But, you know, we have to be, like you said, even about the foreign language and people with strong accents. It's like we have to start opening our eyes to the mind control that not everything, nothing's black and white. Nothing.
No. And your comment is exactly right. The difference is a lot of these people have been silent and afraid to come forward.
And if they get grants from the Gates Foundation or from someone or from the NIH or from DARPA or whatever, then it's even worse. Then they definitely can't speak out about anything or they'll lose that. And then these institutions, medical schools, whatever, get a ton of money from the government and from special interests. So it's all a mess. But when good people come forward and give good information from a good, you know, a reputable source, we can't just let it go by. That they're serious adverse event rate by a factor of 40, they're undercounting it. That's insanity. People are being brainwashed to think that this is safe and effective if you're in the mainstream media. They have no idea.
Because they're skewing it. They're skewing all the numbers. So I want to talk now. Can I keep going?
Sure.
Okay. So remember we had the CDC and the FDA were sued to release the data, right?
Right.
So there's an increase in injection rate of the World Data Org reports 73% of the COVID deaths in high-income and middle-income nations that could be vaxxed occurred after the vaccination was released. Now, here's what's important about that, okay? Not the high-income or middle. Basically, what they're saying is the countries that can afford the vaccine were importing it and injecting it. Now, what's important about this statement is the true death rate wasn't as a result of the pandemic. This increase in death rate was after the vaccine had been administered.
Unbelievable.
So it's flipped. When you look at that statement, you have to, that's a very powerful statement that this data showing that the majority of those deaths wasn't as a result of the COVID and this pandemic, right? And the other thing is emergency use only push this thing through, but the deaths come after the injection rates. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
73%. But
that's insane.
The pandemic, most of the deaths occurred beginning and after treatment is available. However, COVID vaccines fail to improve health, which is apparently by design, is what this article was talking about.
Right.
So they
yeah,
there's a
I
lot
mean, think about it. There's it all makes sense if you just think about it, but it's sad because that should be the lead story on every news channel in the world is like people are dying after the vaccine by an alarming rate or having these long-term things. And right. Like you said, I've talked to so many people lately that their parents took it or even they took it or whatever, and that they have these lingering different things. We saw like now there's a whole thing with hepatitis and herpes and all this stuff that's like, and it's since the vaccine, and it's people can't, how much longer do people keep denying it? It's that we talked about it many times, but that Mark Twain thing, it's easier to fool somebody than convince them they've been fooled. It's time for people to just accept the fact that there are facts out there that they need to know and share, because it's crazy. Go into this. Listen, Dr. Northrup, who is one of the disinformation agents that got trashed during the original COVID purge by Fauci and them, she came out very early on my show, and she's a gynecologist as she delivered babies for years.
Yeah.
She said that this is causing a ridiculous amount of miscarriages. Pregnant women should not get it. All of that. And then I'm walking down the street in New York City and on all the kiosks it's saying like pregnant women should get it. It's totally safe. And here we go. Go ahead.
Funny you mention that. So I wanted to look at this a little bit. I went and looked at some old data, and then there's some new data that came out. Again, 28th of April is the most recent data. So the Pfizer is causing an avalanche of miscarriages, stillborn babies. So let's talk about this. 150,000 SAEs report within 3 months of rolling out the COVID shots. Table six. Now, this is from the Freedom of Information Act, the original table six. There's some new data that is added to this. So I want to talk about this. Table six of that data, that 270 unique pregnancies that were exposed to the vaccine, no outcome was provided.
I remember this data. You
remember this, right?
Yep.
And then these 32 pregnancies of unknown outcome. That was the original stuff, right?
Right.
There were 3,600 report spontaneous abortions, miscarriages, stillbirths, and negotiated deaths in the U.S. Of the VAR system. This was December of 2021. So remember that. We talked about that before, right?
Right, yeah.
So the initial study of Table 4 showing spontaneous abortions after vaccination. The authors claim, there's an article I'm going to show you, that 104 pregnancy losses divided by this pregnancy resulted in 12.6. This is what the original data was showing you.
Right.
Okay.
Spontaneous abortion is a miscarriage, right?
What's that?
Spontaneous abortion is a miscarriage. Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
That's awful. Oh, my God. That's so devastating for people. I know people who've had them. It's horrendous. It's heartbreaking.
But keep that in mind. I want you to remember that, Mel, because there's something important about that we're going to talk about.
Oh, no.
Because you asked the question. It's really good. So 12.6 was what the initial threshold was. So, 12.6 is everybody's like, okay, not too bad. It is horrible no matter what, but let's look at what really happened. So these doctors come out, and I want to talk about these a little bit. As of April 8th, 5,400 pregnant women reported adverse events related to the COVID vaccine, including 1,600,936 reports of miscarriages or premature birth. Okay?
Wow.
Of 3,600 cases, the Bell policy reported 51% were attributed to Pfizer's vaccine, 40% to Moderna, and 8% to J&J. So now what they're doing is they're starting to break down this data by vaccine, okay?
Yeah.
And under research of Gillian Bildsherm, with 42% cases attributed to Pfizer, 30% to Moderna, and 20% to J&J. So now what we're doing is as of this new data, we're starting to break this down, but we're also breaking it down by vaccine.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, this is horrible. Now, in order to manipulate this data, there's 100 ways you could do it. You could only report Pfizer, or you could only report Moderna, and you're going to modify your patient population. Okay.
Right.
So these doctors, and I want to put my hats off to these doctors. They wrote this article last year where they broke down the original data, but it's brilliant what they did. And by the way, it's consistent with the new data I'm going to show you. Right. So I don't want to take somebody's data without acknowledging the work. And these
right,
are the
yeah, that's good.
Brilliant article. And they broke this down. Basically, what they were saying was, hey, guys, your table is inaccurate. The little language at the bottom of your table was right. stating that you manipulated your data.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so here's how they did this. So they take this thing, they break this information down. It's of particular importance as pregnant women are excluded from the phase 3 trials originally. I told you that from the beginning, right?
Right.
Table 4 then, the spontaneous abortions are going to, spontaneous now, so you're going to see SA a lot. That's what it is, okay?
Okay.
In under 20 weeks, spontaneous of 12.5, as we talked about above, right?
Right.
The argument is that's not accurate. So what does that mean? What they said is this rate is based on the number of women who are at risk of spontaneous abortion due to vaccine receipt. It should include or exclude 700 women who are vaccinated because they were in their third trimester. So the major portion of their data is the third trimester, which doesn't have or include spontaneous abortion.
Right. That would be a
that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what this means. And so, guys, that's huge. That's huge. Because
so sick.
700 participants received their eligible dose of the trimester. Since the definition of spontaneous abortion to pregnancy loss under 20 weeks meant that the 700 women should not have been included. So what they did is they took this group, they put it in there to lower that number down.
Right.
This is
why? This is so insane. I don't understand what they're doing. I mean, it seems so nefarious. I hate to go there, but right now we need the information to get out. I've been hearing this a lot, but these are facts. They were manipulating the data and using a data set that was fraudulent.
And this is just one table. I've done other tables. Remember, the original tables were worse.
Right.
So when you look at that number and you recalculate it, you're coming out to 82% pregnancy loss as a result of this vaccine. So we went from 12.2 to 82% because the data had included that. Basically, what you do there is you say, okay, listen, how can I make this number? We need to add patients to this population to increase that number to right. decrease the frequency. And that's what they did. When you pull out that data by the true medical definition, you're really looking at 82%.
Right. Really unbelievable, huh?
Now,
there's so much information out there that is shocking to even believe that, because it's none of this is an accident. It's all being done on purpose to deceive. And the question is, again, why?
And there's more. I got a little bit more. I hate doing these depression shows.
No, it's important for people to know this.
People need to know this.
They're not done. They're going to come back with a whole nother round of these shots and stuff. And people are keep lining up. I mean, they're lining up their children. But you know what? If we can save one person or one pregnant woman from having this happen to them, then it matters. So go ahead.
Guys, this is really... to me, it's just mind-boggling that this.
And doctors
are
saying to pregnant women that it's totally safe. I know they are.
Well, you know, as you know, I was recently in the ER. And one of the things that they said to me is, "Hey, man, you need to get that vaccination. It's really important." And I, at that point, didn't want to get into a long debate about
right.
how.
Well, once you're in the hospital,
right? I just wanted to get the hell out of there. But
right.
Actually, what's interesting about that is I have some data that I had access to while I was there. And I'm going to share those later, but
great.
Let's keep going.
Go ahead.
So here's some recent data that comes out. Now, what this is this is a huge medical white paper that's been peer reviewed. And that's kind of important because it's peer reviewed means that other doctors are looking at it, reviewing right. this and talking about myocarditis. Okay. X22 talks about this and mentions this quite a bit actually in his stuff. But what's interesting is this is the actual raw data. So this took me, this real article took me about 2 hours to go through and figure this thing out. Right.
Yeah. Because most people aren't supposed to be able to figure
it out. I mean, it was so technical. I had to keep going back. I'm like, wait, what? It's this huge article, Mel. Huge. But if you look at this, guys, you can look at the original data. And this is the new one. Is SARS beta messenger mRNA vaccination associated with myocarditis? So this is a true post study that's just been released. Okay. Mm-hmm. Findings of the cohort study. This is a clinical study, a registered clinical study, 23.1 million residents across four Nordic countries.
Wow.
Looking at the risks of myocarditis after the first and second doses of the messenger RNA, particularly ages 16 to 24. So they're really, they broke this down into different, a cohort is a particular type of population that they look at. Okay. And normally in a clinical study, you could have, let's say, 2-3 cohorts in a clinical study. And what those are specific groups of populations in a clinical study.
Right.
Okay. That's what they did. Okay. So that's what they mean by cohort. So then they go into young males receiving two doses. And so they break this down into, they're really looking at events in 28 days per 100,000 vaccinations after the second dose. So they're looking at single dose, initial dose, second dose, third dose, and they're monitoring myocarditis in right. this huge population. Now,
that is a huge population.
The reason this gets so big is they had to define these cohorts very specifically because they wanted the data to be accurate when they did it, which, by the way, I have to say, the way that they did it was excellent. It was excellent. I went through and I looked at it from an auditor's perspective, and the way that they broke this data down was really good. And so I tried to look at basically what the results were at a high level for us so we can look at this thing. Okay. But basically what it said was that this large cohort study indicated that both first and second dosage of the vaccines were associated with increased risk of myocarditis and pericarditis. So basically, they're acknowledging what we already knew, but this is a huge study that went and looked into these age groups and said, hey, we only looked up to 28 days and we're seeing huge increases in this. So what they said is individuals receiving two doses for the same vaccine, risk of myocarditis was highest among the males aged 16 to 24. After the second dose as well.
Okay. That's why so many young athletes are dropping dead on the
dead all across the planet.
Yep.
Okay. This is the Nordic cohort studies, right? So these findings are compatible with between 4 and 7 excess events in 28 days per 100,000 vaccines after the dose.
Wow.
Unapproved. So what they're looking at is only up to 28 days. What they're saying is up to 28 days when you get this shot, the increase goes up 7-fold to 28-fold of a vaccine dose that you're going to have an issue.
Wow.
So basically then what they say, so they broke all this down, the risk, this risk should be balanced against the benefits of protecting against severe COVID disease. So what they're saying is we're looking at, hey, compare this increase of heart attacks to the risk of taking the vaccine or just getting COVID-19 on itself.
Right.
COVID-19 people that actually have it, that are unvaccinated, are not at risk of myocarditis.
Unbelievable. Right.
They're not, you're not at risk right. at all. So
sense.
You see, I the reason
so I'm saying this is the risk, take it into account before getting the vaccine, you know, hello. Yeah.
Right.
So and why do you think that it's particularly bad for boys between 16 and 24?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Because
those are the age men that fight our battles and our biggest athletes and stuff. And a lot of them are dying all over the world. It's odd that age group of men is a major issue. And it's been proven in the data you just said, but other places, it's bizarre that would be the age group that is getting this myocarditis in mass amounts.
originally when I, if you go back to my 2020 shows that when you and I were talking about it, I said that I thought that the COVID vaccine had been manipulated to target particular genetic groups. Remember, I said that.
Yeah.
However,
you know who's saying that now? The Russians that just went and found the labs in Ukraine. They're saying that they could be modified for specific populations.
But at that time, now with this new data, I missed something. So I want to make a new statement.
Okay.
Okay. Because at that time, based on what we had, that's what I was seeing was happening on the data. We knew the data was manipulated. Take all that and throw that aside. And I want to answer your question in particular. That a vaccine that creates that type of myocarditis in that particular age group, which is impossible, right? Yeah. You're not seeing that ever. Even if you look at old vaccines and take them all together, you're not seeing that. What that insinuates is there's something in that messenger RNA or in the vaccine. It doesn't have to be the mRNA. It could be some other type of nanoparticle, right? Or nanotechnology that is going after that particular age group.
Unbelievable. That's males. Males between 16 and 24. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to get into my theories, but they can do this. Look, when the people that started the Human Genome Project and all the Epstein scientists and Lieber and all the MIT guys and stuff, they're very proud of their ability to manipulate cells and genes and DNA and inserts and all of this. This is not a surprise, but you did talk about it a year and a half ago. But a lot of the people that are coming out with the true information about the U.S.-backed bioweapons labs all over the world, especially in Ukraine, are saying that they can create them for specific populations, be it Asian or, we talked about that a long time ago, but also they can do it for age range and age groups and all of that. They're very advanced, these people that deal with the mRNA and DNA and stuff.
And what I've said all along to you is we're using old science to analyze this
information,
right?
Exactly.
What we don't have, and actually it's kind of funny because two of the other shows that I was going to do when I talk about this new science, the reason that this new science it took so long to get out there is it didn't conform to our knowledge or our basic understanding or rules of physics and medicine. Now, what I've said all along to people, especially doctors and nurses too, is guys, we can't use our traditional medical approach or medical knowledge to understand this issue because the technology is based off of physics, engineering, science, right? All of these things now are linked together into a new type of science that we have to step back and reanalyze. Quantum physics, by the way, plays a major role in all of this. And you've heard me talk about it a million times. I talk about the anti-gravity and I talk about all this stuff, but the reason is quantum physics now is proving what we knew 100 years ago that Nikola Tesla was talking about, right? So we have to think about that when we look at this stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get into that later. But
we'll do that show upcoming because also, my favorite topic of Antarctica is popping back in the news again this week.
Oh, By the way, some new CIA documents and FBI documents have been released on it. I've got some really cool information.
Great. So we'll do that show next because we got to catch up on all of that and the technologies. Great. Perfect. So let's wrap up this one and then our next show will be a real positive eye opener.
I agree. Let me just do a couple more slides here really quick.
Go ahead.
Basically, Mel, all of this is exactly the same type of stuff. The new data is coming out and it's pushing out exactly the same thing. I wanted to dig down into the children and I wanted to dig down to the pregnancy because I really wanted to get this information out to parents, right? But here, as of global research, as of April 23rd, 1 million COVID vaccine injuries, 27,000 deaths have been reported. Okay. So this is the stuff after it's been manipulated. Okay, so now you compare that to the research data that's been coming out, right? So now as of April 22, look at these numbers.
Unbelievable.
1.2 million AEs as a result of the COVID vaccines, including 26,000 deaths.
Wow.
26,976. So the 27,000 is rounded, guys, okay? So this is up till April 8th of 2022. This is the most recent data that's come out that I have where this group analyzed this data. 27,000 deaths, guys. Wow. Up 270. So basically what's happening right now, what you're seeing is the reported deaths is going like this, Mel.
Right.
Okay.
We're not even sure. Yeah. And all the, they're just manipulating all the data anyway. We're not even sure if that number's real or if they're deaths from this. All we know is that these are people that already had vaccinations.
Yeah. See, what happens is this virus database, because people have been watching this a little bit closer now.
And I think manipulating it too.
Even though you're looking at manipulated data here, this is substantial. Alarming.
Yeah.
This is substantial. I mean, if you had a fraction of this on anything else, this would have been shut down right
now. I know. I can't believe it's still, I cannot believe it's still going on, but this should be enough. But you know what? Rob and I, we were out. He was sitting next to an emergency room doctor in New York City who said the VARS database isn't real. You know, like it doesn't even, like as if it doesn't even exist. Like she wanted nothing to do with it. The vaccines are totally safe, just like talking points. Like nobody's dying from the vaccine, you know, everyone needs to get the vaccine. And emergency room doctor in Manhattan.
But keep in mind, I don't know if you remember this show. I looked at where the virus database was collecting their information. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember.
It came from, I think it was four or five states, and those are cabal controlled cities.
I know. I know it.
Denver was one. So,
New York is up there on the very top of that. But yeah, no, it's just, it's so scary that doctors, this is information any doctor could find if they wanted to. And it should alarm them and they should take responsibility and say, you know what, something's wrong. Even if this whole time they were saying the opposite, it's just at this point, I feel like we're at a place with a lot of stuff, including the election and this and everything that's gone on. We're at a point where people are choosing to stay in their old beliefs, even when evidence is smacking them in the face. They're done. They're like Stockholm syndrome. I don't know what it is, but you know, we just got to keep putting the info out, especially about kids. But there's no one that can't find this information right now.
What you got to do is you got to get through the first 28 pages of Google. Or
yeah, it's awful.
At this point, you know, I have one that I use that only goes after research papers, and it is, you guys, you can find it. And my point here today was, and I've been gone for a while, but I wanted to come back and stress it, guys. This is still here. We still have to keep in, be patient. The problem that your listeners have is they've been awake for a long time, so. It's frustrating for your listeners because they know, they're like, when is this crap going to be over? I'm sorry. Amazing. Can I say that without being banned?
It's okay. Crap is okay.
So when is this stuff going to be over with? And we're just waiting, but we have to be patient because a lot of stuff still has to come out, right?
Yeah.
So I don't get into the politics part of it because you're the expert on it. You're the money.
Oh, right. The politics part of it is.
Ukraine had to happen the way it did because of what came out of that. And so this stuff, there's still a lot of really good people pushing this. And I'm seeing a turn in the medical community. I've kind of always talked to you about what that balance and where I thought it was at. It was, you know, 70-30, and then I thought we're at 50-50. I think we're probably closer at this point to a 60-40 split, maybe a little bit more of the medical community's turning, saying, okay, listen, I'm going to take back and look at this realistically. I think we're getting better, but this data has to keep coming out and we have to keep pushing it. This is as of last
month. About kids and pregnant women. I mean, this is such a farce. It's just so sick. I don't understand anymore. And listen, I agree with you, but look, the doctors and nurses and administrators at hospitals and all these people, I just say, if you the whole time, I mean, I'm sure they're not watching this, but if your friends or anything, it doesn't matter if the whole time they were going along with it. It's we're at a place where we're not in a pandemic. There shouldn't be emergency use authorization. Absolutely. And even the doctor that Dr. Gates, who's running the whole worldwide plandemic, is out there saying kids aren't at risk. And even if they get it, it's not deadly. And we shouldn't have locked down the schools like that. I mean, of course, 2 years after he made that happen, you know, he's the biggest funder of the World Health Organization, private funder. But and again, they're planning this again. They don't do it. They have to, because right now, if they don't come up with something, they're going to lose all their power in 2022. So everyone's got to get the information and resist. I mean, just resist it is all I can say. But really important stuff today, Michael, again, because you and I care about really about the kids. And honestly, I know people who've had miscarriages with that. I mean, it destroyed them. And that was a situation with when it wasn't a vaccine. And it's a big deal. And Northrop and you and other people have been saying this the whole time, but it's becoming undeniable.
Yeah, the data here is overwhelming. And what's really nice is this data that I just punched out was as of the, you know, mid-April. So this is the most accurate information. But what's important that people need to understand is this data keeps pushing higher and higher numbers. And I suspect, sadly, that as we continue this, we're going to see long-term effects that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And keep pushing people. We got to get through this. I know it's frustrating, but keep pushing forward. Get this information out to as many people as you can.
Yeah. And did you see, and we'll get into it next time, that they had to admit that the NIH and Fauci and Collins and all them got like royalties and money over the last 2 years. So again, when I say, what is this about? People have to really start questioning, what is this about really? Because there's a lot of money has changed hands to hide this data or to manipulate this data or to push this vaccine. And I think people aren't paying enough attention to that. And it's important.
I agree. That grant system needs to be reevaluated.
Across the board, for NGOs, for science, for schools, it's a mess. And it's really dangerous, I think, when it comes to this stuff. As you've discussed many times, the patents, the grants, how they fund it, the external funding. Look, you brought up the Harvard thing. There's good guys out there. But, you know, anyone that is out there really needs to share this information and get it out there so that there are some people who are in positions like you that should be doing the same research and putting it out to their friends, too. So thank you so much, Michael, as always.
Thank you.
We will have two shows next week because we have to catch up on some really good stuff and also some more stuff like this because nobody else is covering it. Everyone else is acting like COVID's gone. And I will tell you what, every day that another celebrity or another Gates or another politician gets COVID after they're double vaxxed and Colbert and boosted, you know why? They're starting a narrative and, you know, and we got to resist it and at least be smarter next time because they're not done.
No, here we go. There's going to be another round of that, guys. So keep pushing and, you know, we just got to go a little bit longer here.
Okay. Love you, buddy. And I will see you next week and I will see you in real life soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. It is an American company made in America, grown in America, packaged in America. And that makes me really happy because I always talk about defund the cabal, refund the kingdom. What better way to do that than to start getting your superfoods from MelKSuperfoods.com. And when you go there, you know that you're getting the best quality, no fillers, totally organic. You're never going to be without healthy fruits and vegetables right at a moment's notice. We don't know what's going to happen with the supply chain. We don't know what's happening with food prices, with what's going on in the market. So I always know if I can't find what I'm looking for, I always have my daily amount of fruits and vegetables that will keep me healthy and thriving right in my cupboard. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead. Hey, Patriot pals, Mel Kay here. The controlled demolition of the economy by the private Western Central Bank and the Biden regime-backed World Economic Forum Great Reset can no longer be denied or ignored. Consumer prices are skyrocketing. The Fed is raising rates. Inflation jumped 7% this year alone. That's a 40-year high. Now is the time to go full steam ahead to protect your hard-earned savings, 401ks, and IRAs by diversifying your assets by investing in gold and silver. Please visit our friend Andrew and his team at Beverly Hills Precious Metals at melkgold.com. That's melkgold.com. And he'll help you put together a personalized financial plan to maintain your security and sovereignty no matter what comes ahead. Protect yourself and your assets for the future. Please do not be left behind. Now is the time.
Hey, Patriot pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to the MelKayShow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.